Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Menachos Nun Aleph. We begin on Nun Amud Beis, almost at the bottom, so it's four lines from the bottom to Nun Hasam. We have a Mishnah further down in Maseches Menachos, which speaks about the Chavitei Kohen Gadol. So that's the daily mincha offering of a Kohen Gadol, which we somewhat discussed yesterday. It consists of an Isorain, a flour, which is then brought into the Mikdash and split into two parts, half of which is offered in the morning. It's fried, baked, we discussed that yesterday, into these loaves, and the same happens in the evening. Nanhasam, Chavite Kohen Gadol. So this mincha, which is called Chavite Kohen Gadol, where do we process it? Lishasan, the kneading process, when they mix the flour and the varichasan, and the forming of the breads. Va'afiyasan, likewise their baking, all takes place bifnim, inside the azar, inside the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi explains, because in contrast to a regular mincha, where the midas yovesh leniskacha, the container for dry materials like flour, does not have kedusha to the extent that it would be mekadesh the content, which would disallow it from being taken out of the mikdash, lest it becomes pasul, you know, because of yotze. That's standard procedure, but here it's different. Typically, chacham would not advise them to be mekadesh that kli, because Rashi says it's something for everybody. It's everybody has access to it, which poses a concern that, you know, a person might be less than careful, not realize that he can't take the material back out. So they instructed that the kli hayavish, which is typically used to measure the flour for a regular standard common mincha, was not sanctified, does not have that ability to endow kedusha on the content. But here, by the chavitin, which as we explained was split into two, so they used the half isarin measuring cup that had kedusha, that was, you know, exclusive for the Kohen Gadol's use and the Kohanim. So there's no concern regarding yotze. They know how to be careful, so therefore the material was kaddish, the flour, the mincha material, in which case it has to be processed and baked in the Beis HaMikdash. Lishasan, barichas, and everything, the kneading, the aricha, the afia, all bifnim. That's one halacha. B'derechas HaShabbos. Secondly, it was processed even on Shabbos. So you bake new bread even on Shabbos. Minan amilei, how do we know that it is Da'ichas Shabbos? Amar Rav Huna. So we're going to have no less than four sources. Rav Huna is Tufine, which we referred to yesterday as the Pasuk, describing the Mincha. It's Tufine, Minchas Pitim Takrav Rech Nechoich Lashem. Tufine, as we learned, tells us that it has to be pleasant, it has to be fresh. Tufeno Noe. It has to be fresh. Vi Ofilo Me'esmeth, we'll break it yesterday. By the time Shabbos comes around, it's exposed to the air, and it's bloated, and it's a little bit unfresh. In Shafale, it's affected by the air, by the... And therefore, you must make it fresh on Shabbos. So Shabbos is Mincha, is processed on Shabbos. Maskal Rav Yosef, why not do it yesterday and keep it fresh? Contain it. Eima the kavash lebiyarka. Cover it with buried under greenery, keep it fresh. Okay, so now we have to have another source that is allowed on Shabbos. Deir Bishmol Tanos, we have another source from the Beis Medrash of Bishmol. The pasuk uses the term Te'asa in describing this Menchal Machvas Bashemen Te'asa. Te'asa is an extra word to tell you Afilu B'Shabbos. You do it even on Shabbos. Te'asa means Afilu B'Tumah, even when there is Tumah around. Right, so It's like any other public carbon, when the Kohanim, etc., atame, you could still continue with the process. Abaye Omar, here comes a third source, Amakra. The pasuk in describing this mincha calls it Tzeles Mincha Tamit. So the word Tamit teaches us Harehi Kiminchas Timidin, that the Chavitika in Gadol has similar status to the mincha that comes along with a carbon tamid, the daily, you know, tamid. The accompaniment is the minchas tamid, which of course is brought daily, even on Shabbos. Likewise, this mincha as well. Rav Amar comes a fourth source, al machmas. The pasuk says that the minchas chavitin is processed through a machmas, through a frying pan. Now, the frying pan was certainly considered a klisharis and would affect its content. Likewise, anything placed in that machbas acquires a higher level of kedusha, kedusha saguf. In which case, if you made it yesterday, once it stays overnight, it's puzzled because of lina. Al machbas tells us malam shetuna kli, needs a kli, needs the machbas. If we'll do this yesterday, you bake it yesterday, by the time today comes around, by the time Shabbos comes around, if Lebelina becomes disqualified because of Lina. Okay? So once again, we learn that the Minchas Chavitim Kohen Gadol is fully processed on Shabbos. We have no less than four sources to teach us that. Tanika Vaseyde Rava. Here's a brisa with the fourth source, like Rava, Al Machmas. This pasuk teaches, Malamish Tuna Kli. We need Kli Shares. And that explains why it's done on Shabbos. Otherwise, it would become possible through Lina. Now the brisa continues. So how much oil goes into the Minchas Chavitin? Is it like a standard mincha? Just a lug? Let's say like a liter, right? Or is it more? The pasuk which says Bashemen tells you that it's more than standard. Bashemen lohoisev lashemen. He's coming to teach you that it's more than your standard mincha. Otherwise, leave out the word Bashemen. And I already know that it needs somewhat of oil, because al machvas tells you that it's fried in a machvas, in a frying pan. Apparently it has oil. What's the point of adding the word Bashemen? Oh, Lohoisev Lashemen. To teach that you meant to add more oil than the standard fear. Okay, so we know we add. How much more? We need the akama. We don't know how much more. Answer is, harini done. Here comes some sort of learning arrangement. Let's see. Nemar kan Shemen. We have the word shemen over here, and the same we have by minchas nesachim, which is a mincha which accompanies, you know, a carbon. Every carbon comes along with minchas nesachim, and we apply the same ratio as we have a minchas nesachim to our mincha as well. Again, nemar kan shemen, v'nemar lahal b'minchas nesachim shemen, which allows for a connection. Malahan, just like over there by Minchas Nesachim, with Shloishes Lugan Lisarim. It's three lug of oil per Isarim. That's by a sheep, a carbon that comes in a sheep form. You bring a Minchas Nesachim, which consists of isarin, of flour, with three lug of oil. So we import that formula to our mincha as well. Mala halam shloishes lugim liisarin. Afkan here as well, shloishes lugim liisarin. So minchas chavitin, which has isarin, requires three lug. So that's three times as much as a standard mincha, which only has one lug per isarin. Says the Gemara, hold it, who says that it's so much oil? Perhaps take a different approach and bring it down to just one lug, like a regular mincha. And the Gemara later will tell us that at this twist in the road, so to speak, the Gemara is sort of putting aside that source that we cited a minute ago, Bashem, and tells you to add. We're sort of suspending that source for the time being. According to one approach in the Gemara, it's a different Tana who's speaking now, who doesn't have that point of reference, which triggers the obvious question: who says that you meant to have more oil than your regular mincha? So take a different approach. Nemar kan shemen. We have the word shemen by the chavitin over here, and we have the word shemen by a regular, voluntary, donated mincha, which suffices with just one lug. Malahan lug echad, afkan lug echad, just like over there, one lug suffices, perhaps the same here. So we're sort of in a dilemma. In the middle of the chart, we have the minchas chavitin. To the right, we have the minchas nesachim, which has three lug. To the left, we have a minchas nedaba with one lug. Who is he more comparable to? What's a fairer, comparison? So let's see. Nirul midayma. Let's see. Who is more daima? Who is more comparable to? Which one's a better match? Which one of these two options, these two possible sources, has more things in common with a minchas chavitin? Certainly, the minchas nesachim with the three lug wide donin, we learn tavshat mitavshat. The chavitin, which is tavshat, which has elements which begin with a taf, beis, shin, tes, as we'll see in a minute, mitavshat from the minchas nesachim, which likewise features those four elements, which are as follows. Actually, some take it down to three. So taf is the tadir. They're both very common, right? The minchas chavitin is a daily mincha. And likewise, the minchas nesachim is certainly a daily affair because it's brought together with the tamid every day. Okay, then we have doicha Shabbos with doicha tumah, right? Both are considered like sort of public karbonis, which override Shabbos and any tumah concerns. So you bring it on Shabbos, and even if the kahanim are tamid, you still proceed. So these are unique commonalities between the chavitin of the kohen gadol and the minchas nesachim, which are not found by a regular privately donated mincha. You don't bring it on Shabbos, it's not betumah, it's not necessarily a daily thing, it's not a daily requirement, right? Vein don in tavshat, v'shein in tavshat, rather than learning the our chavitin, which has tavshat, from a regular mincha, which doesn't have it. So we connect it to the minchas nesachim, and we give it three lug of oil. No, perhaps prefer the other route, connect it to a minchas nedava. Done in yagel mi yagel. For we find several commonalities between the chavitin and a minchas nedava. Yagel. It has no less than three unique commonalities. We have the yachid glal atzman levayna. They're both a privately offered mincha. Chavitin is the kind of gadol's, and the minchas nedava is a private person. Gal atzma, it's on its own. It's an independent offering, as opposed to minchas nesachim, which is an accompaniment. So it's a different type of realm. And levayna. They both require levayna, as opposed to the Minchas Nesachim, which doesn't have these features. Va'al Yachid Begal Atzma Levoina Ve'en Don Yagel Mosheini Yagel. Rather than comparing Minchas Chavitim, which is considered Yagel, which has these features, from the to the Minchas Nesachim of a car, which doesn't have Yagel. Okay, so that's the sort of conclusion here, that Minchas Chavitim has more oil than the standard, has three lug, because we compare it to the so now we're stuck, right? Well, we thought it was an easy shidduch, comparing the chavitin to the minchas nesachim over the minchas nedava. Well, it's not so simple. We have several commonalities going between chavitin and the nedava as well. So which way should we go? Comes a new pasuk now. Rabbi Shmuel, oh, b'noi, Shah Brecha Mbrecha Imer. I have a pasuk for you that teaches us Amechas Chavitim features three log of oil. Soilas, Mincha, Tamid. Okay, there's the lashon that the pasuk uses by the Minchas Chavitim to teach us that it's like a Minchas Tamid. Harei Loch Minchas Tamid. The Minchas Chavitim has the same status as a Mincha, which comes with a carbon tamid, a daily tamid. Ma minchas tamidin gimulugin li sarin. Okay, so now we know that we compare it to the minchas and sachem of the tamid. Just like over there, it's with three lug per sarin, avzu, here as well. It runs the same ratio. Gimulugin li sarin. Okay, so let's just break down the steps here. How much oil in a minchas chavitin? Well, machmas on its own would tell you there's some oil. Bashemen tells you to add. Okay, so once we know, we've established that you add, how much do you add? We compare it to the Michas Nesachim, which has three look. But compare it to Michas Nadav, which only has one look. Comes in Rishmol, the new Pasuk. The Pasuk compares our Minchatua, Michas Tamid, with three look. Reb Shimon Omer, he says, I'll tell you how we know it's three. Riba kan shemen, riba minchas kvasim shemen. We know. We already established from that pasuk al machas bashemen that the chavitin requires more oil than standard. So sort of going back to that source, which we sort of suspended for a little bit. Reb Shimon takes us back to the original source. We have a Rishmol source. We have Reb Shimon, who's now taking us back to the original source. That the actual wording in the pasuk, Amachas Bashem, tells you more oil than necessary. More oil than standard is necessary, right? The question just is how much? There are two issues here. Minchas Chavitin, does it have the regular oil? You know, the regular quantity? Or do we add more? So true, we have that pasuk, Amachas Bashem, that we add more, but how much more? Does it go from 1 to 2, or from 1 to 3? Says Reb Shimon, we know that we add. How much do we add? Reb Shimon, I'm a riba kan shemen, riba mechas kvasim shemen. So once we know that we add, riba kan shemen, Torah added more than regular. So we go look for another instance where the Torah added, required more than the standard look. Let's go to minchas kvasim. The mincha that comes along with the kevas, which we said before has three lugin. And likewise over here we have three. Riba kan shemen, riba mechas kvasim shemen. I'll just go over there. Shloishes lugin lisarn. It's three lug per isarn. Afkan here as well. By the chavitin shloishes lugin lisarn. Three lug to isarn. That's going pretty grand. Who says? Oiklach derachzu. I understand that we know we have to add, but perhaps only add. Go from 1 to 2. Lug per isarn. Oiklach derachzu. Take a different approach. Riba kan shemen. Riba brichas parn beelim shemen. Compare our expanded oil requirement to the mincha that comes along with a par, with an ayah, with a cow, with a ram, which also has more than the standard lug that comes with this, you know, standard donated mincha. It has more, has two lug per yisarim, but just two, not three. Suffice with two. Riba kan shemen, riba b'minchas parim b'ilm shemen. Malahan just look over there. It's only two lug per yisarim, shnei lug l'yisarim. Afkan perhaps over here by the chavitin as well. Shnei lug l'yisarim is two lug per yisarim. Okay, so now we have a choice in the matter. Who do we compare the chavitin to? We know we have to add. That's been established. But how much to add? Compared to the kvasim, which is three, or to the parim ve'ilim, which is two? Nira l'midami, let's see. What's a fairer comparison? Don and mincha bo yisorin. Mincha bo yisorin. It makes more sense to compare the chavitin, which is a mincha consisting of an yisorin, a flour, to another mincha, mincha that comes with a keves, which likewise has a isor and a flower. That's a more similar comparison. And since over there we have three log oil here as well, vein done, rather than doing a connection between a mincha ba isorin, our mincha which has a isor and a flower, and connecting it to the parim ve'elim which have much more than one isor and a flower. So it's dissimilar in that sense. A mincha ba beis v'gimel isroinim. By the pirates two, by the islets two, is by the pirates three. So that is the conclusion. says Rabbi Shimon. So it's a 1-2 step system. We know that minchas chavitim requires more than standard. Standard, what I mean is the the standard donated mincha, which is one esar and a flour, one log of oil. How do I know it's more? Because it says machvas bashemen with oil, which is obvious because you can't fry with that, right? So you have to add. How much do you add? Let's compare it to another mincha, which has more than standard oil, more than the standard amount. And the conclusion is we compare it to the michas kvasim, which has 3 lugim per isar, likewise over here. Now the Gemara will dwell on that point that we sort of raised before. You see, again, the steps were like this. We started with a pasuk machas bashemen. You have to add oil, right? How much? So we attempted to compare it to michas nesachim, which is 3 lug. The response was, no, maybe it's compared to a regular donated mincha, a michas nedav, which is only 1 lug. So we went back and forth. Until Rabbi Shmuel came up with another pasuk, Soilas mincha tamid, that our chavitin is compared to michas tamid with 3 lug. Rabbi Shimon says, well, I know you need more oil than standard. How much more? Is it 3? Is it 2? And that was the conclusion. Now, let's go back again. So, we said we need more than oil and regular. Compared to Minchas Nesachim, 3 lug. No, maybe it's just like a Minchas Nedav, which is 1 lug. Well, 1 lug is not adding. That's standard. That's standard fare. That's the minimal requirement. Hogav Akasha, so it's a bit hard to understand this sort of back and forth in the Gemara. Amras Bashemen, first you start with the Pasuk Bashemen, where you learned Lois of Lashem, and you have to add more than standard. And then you come back and you sort of question that. Vodatani, then you come back and you say, Nemar kan Shemen, Venever Mechasendava Shemen, we have Shemen by us, we have Shemen Mechasendava, perhaps compare it to Mechasendava, which is only a regular lug. But it can't be a regular lug. You already established you need more than a lug. So we're going to have three ways to answer this question. We have two people speaking in this braisa, right? We have Reb Shimon, who was actually mentioned only at the end. Says Abaye, really, he was speaking from the outset. He's the one that came up with that initial source, that Machvas Bashemen teaches us they need more oil than regular, because Machvas tells you it's a regular mincha with oil, and Bashemen says you add more. So it was him speaking. But then when they proceeded, when he proceeded to try to confirm the amount that you're adding, and he went to the Mechas Nesachim, which was 3, came Rabbi Shmuel, who didn't hold to that initial source of Machbas Hashemen as a source for adding oil. He came up with the next source later on, right? So he challenged Rabbi Shimon. He says, no, you can't really learn from Mechas Nesachim, perhaps it's just 1 log like Mechas Nedava. Because he was the one who didn't hold to that source of Reb Shimon. Ubedina Mankamahad Rabbi Shmuel, he's the one, Rabbi Shmuel is the one who challenged Bedina with this back and forth and challenged Rabbi Shimon. So there are two different people speaking here, it's not a contradiction. Ultimately, Rabbi Shmuel did come up with another source. His pasuk, which was Seilas Mincha Tamid, that you add like a Minchas Tamid, which is 3 lug. That's one answer. Ravuna Rabbi Shua Amar Kula Rabbi Shmuel. The truth is, the entire Brice until the very end is Rabbi Shmuel speaking. It's all one person. And the Brice reads like this. We start with the pasuk of Machbas Bashemen, from where we learn Loisel Hashemen, you add more oil than standard. Dilek Boil Hashemen, because if it's only to tell you that it requires basic amount of oil. Oil at all, it's unnecessary to tell us. Given the chsibba al machvas, because the pasuk already refers to it as al machvas, which means it's like a regular minchas machvas. Minchas machvas dam, a regular minchas machvas, which needs oil. So to introduce oil to begin with, we don't need the word bashemen. So why bashemen? To add more than standard. But then the Gemara sort of questions itself. Right? Rishmael himself questions it. Oh yeah, perhaps. The added word Bashemen is not going to add anything. It's simply teaching that oil is required to begin with, which I wouldn't necessarily know on my own. So you're sort of challenging his premise. Why? What does that mean? Dila kosav rachmona b'shem. If not for the word b'shem, have I mean, I would think perhaps tiavik minchas choyte. Sure, you bring it in a machpas in a frying pan, but you don't fry it. It's like a minchas choyte, a sinner's mincha which has no oil. So it's not a given that you have oil, and that's why the pasuk would have to say b'shem, right? So who's to say you add more than regular? Hadur Amar comes back to Rishmal and he says, so these all these steps are sort of like embedded in his words. Tiyavanam l'kabayla shemen. It's true. Granted, perhaps you're right, the word b'shemen is simply coming to introduce oil at all, not to add more than regular. Okay, let's say. But you can still source more oil than regular. Tiyasi medina. By way of connection, by way of sourcing it and comparing it to another mincha. And that's why he went to the minchas nesachim, right? Just like over there, it's three lug, here's three lug as well. V'don din of last, and he tried to, make these comparisons. It didn't work out because then he challenged himself. Well, if you can compare it to the minchas nesachim with three lug, perhaps compare it to the minchas nedava with just one lug. And that necessitated the new source. V'atruch akro. And that required the new pasuk. The new pasuk. Of Soilas Mincha Tambit Kemesayim Rishmol Mil says Rishmol concluded his words. So basically, it's all sort of a Rishmol speaking back and forth on his own terms. Is it from the word B'Shemen that we learn extra oil? No. Okay, perhaps we'll just compare it to a Mechas Sachem. Well, who's to say that's a fair comparison? Compare it to a Mechas Dab, which is only one look. Comes the Pasuk, Soilas Mincha Tambit, three look. Okay, so that's the second approach in understanding the Raisa. Here comes a third. Rabba Amar Kula Rab Shimon. Actually, it's all Rab Shimon speaking, rather than Rabbi Shmuel. It's Rab Shimon speaking. Vilu le'nemaka Amar. And what he meant to say is, look, we really have a pasuk b'shemen to add more oil than standard. But the point of discussing it further was to say, look, maybe. Maybe we wouldn't need the pasuk. Let's see. V'chikama, he meant like this. We start with b'shemen, right? That was the original source. Laisa l'shemen tells you more oil than standard. Dilek boi l'shemen were simply to teach you that you need oil at all, leitzarach, that wouldn't be necessary. Kivnech sib al machvas. Once it says al machvas, we compare it to a minchas machvas, which has oil, kemachvas damu. But now comes the discussion as follows. V'achel yoyma b'shemen. Now why does the Torah have to trouble itself to spell out b'shemen, to teach us this added oil, without that source? Yeshli b'din. I can just figure it out. By comparing him to a Minchas Nesachim, which has three lug of oil, and that triggered that whole sort of discussion back and forth. So he attempted to compare it to this one, but the challenge was perhaps we'll compare it to the other one, which only has one lug. That explains why the Torah has to spell out the word b'shemen to require more oil than your regular mincha. But then, as for the next question, fine, you add, but how much do you add? You're telling me it's three lug? Who's to say it's three lug? Maybe it's only two lug, like a mincha of a parim ve'elam, right? So there's two separate issues here. One question is it just a standard amount of oil, one lug, or is it more? Okay, if it's more, how much more? Hada amar, tiyavik minchas parim ve'elam. So Rav Shimon himself came back and says, well, who's to say it's three lug? Perhaps it's like the mincha of parim ve'elam, which is only two lug. Hada amar. That was the conclusion, that we compare it to a mincha of a keves, which has the same amount of flour. It's a better connection, a better comparison. Hence, the minchas chavitin also has three lug of oil. Okay, so at the end of the day, all agree regarding the amount of flour, the amount of oil, minchas chavitin, it's It's way more than the regular oil requirement. It's one isarin with 3 glug of oil. The question just is, where do we learn it from? Is it from the extra word b'shemen, which tells us that there's more oil than regular? How much oil we compare it to the minchas kvasim, which has 3 lug? Or do we go to Rabbi Shmuel, who has the other pasuk of selis mincha tamid, compare it to minchas tamid with 3 lug per isarin? We turn to Beis on the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Liminu koin achar tachtav. So yesterday we referred to a case where a kohen gadol, who's meant to bring this offering, passes away. So what happens if he wasn't replaced yet? Okay, so position is vacant, awaiting the election of the new kohen gadol. What happens in the interim? Who brings the minchas chavitim, which is an obligation upon the kohen gadol? Lo minu achar tach, kohen achar tach, mishal miyaseh krev. Who's gonna bring this offering? Who's gonna pay for it? Rav Shimon ben Mishal Tzibur. The public funds it. Rabbi David Mishal Yorishin, the departed kohen gadol's inheritor, heirs, his two sons do it. They have to finance it. It's their obligation. So it stays in the family until new kohen gadol comes into office. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, when it's brought in this type of circumstance, instead of bringing a sarin which is split, half in the morning, half at night, here you bring a fully sarin in the morning and a fully sarin at night. We'll see this from the Psuk. According to one Pshat Rashi, there's no machlekes on this. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda both concur on this. Tanur Rabbanan. Okay, so what are the sources for this halacha? Kegalo shemes v'loy minu koyin achar tachta. Kegalo passes away and there's no replacement as of yet. Menayin shetei menchosay krev mishal yoshin. How do we know the yoshin? This is Rabbi Yehuda speaking, of course. How do we know the yoshin will bring the menchas chavit in tam? Loy marak koyin mashiach tachtov mibanav yasa oisa. Mibanav teaches us that in this type of case, when Kohen Gadol, Kohen Mashiach is the anointed Kohen Gadol leader, passes away, his bun of his sons, his children, will be obligated to continue the mincha until a new Kohen Gadol comes onto the scene. Yochel Yakreni Chatzoyin, perhaps they continue the same tradition, they bring half at a time like the father did. Tamaloymar Oysa. It. Completely. Kulah Lechetzia. They bring a complete isarin rather than half. Did Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Omer, we have another pasuk, Chok Oilam. Chok Oilam teaches us Mishal Oilam. Oilam means the oilam, the tzibur. The public will pay for it by way of the Trumas Halishka money, from the Machzah Shekels. And the words Kolul Taktar tell you Shtei Kulavak Torah. According to one Pshat Rashi, it means that you burn the whole thing, which means to say that you burn it, and also that it's brought as a complete isarin rather than half at a time. That the as the kohen gadol will bring here, it's a full isarin in the morning and at night. Okay, so we have two sources: one for Rabbi Yehuda that the sons bring it; one Rabbi Shimon's that the tzibur brings it. Ask the Gemara. Is this pasuk even extra? How could we apply it for this halacha? This entire pasuk is needed for something else. V'hai, this pasuk hakoyin haMashiach, this pasuk lahachid da'as is coming for this purpose. Regarding a kohen gadol who passed away and who's obligated to bring the mincha, how you bailik the sani? It's needed for a different halacha and a different brisa. Which begins by quoting the pasuk ze karban aron uvanav. This is the carbon that Aaron and his sons will bring on the day of his inauguration. You, Aaron Abonav, makriven carbon echad. Perhaps it sounds like Aaron HaKohen and his sons will contribute just one carbon together when on the day of their inauguration, when they are nimshach, when they are anointed, when they are appointed. Is that so? They share one carbon? No. Although we began with a singular reference, ze carbon, like it's one carbon, but we conclude with asher akrivu, they will be marked with many carbonis. We learn from here, arein b'fnei atzmoi, ubanav b'fnei atzmoi. totally separate obligations. The Kohen Gadol, who in this case was Aaron HaKohen, brings his own carbon every day, actually. And his sons bring, of course, only the day that they are on the day that they are inaugurated. So the word Banav is referring to his sons, Elu Kohanim Adyaitais. A regular Kohen brings a Menchas Chavitin on the day of his inauguration, when he's introduced to the Avoda the first time. He brings that special Mencha Atoim Kohanim Adyaitais. So you're suggesting that even a regular Kohen, a Kohen Hedyit, who's not a Kohen Gadol, brings a Minchas Chavitin on that first day. Perhaps it only applies to Kohen Gadol on his first day. So let's take a look at the Pasuk again. So this first part of the Pasuk is referring to a Kohen Gadol, Kohen HaMashiach, Tachta Mibonav, that even when Aaron HaKohen passes away, and there's a new Kohen Gadol appointed, okay, Mashiach Tachta Mibonav, he will continue the tradition, he'll bring a Minchas Chavitin as per Kohen Gadol's obligation. Harei Kohen Gadol Amos, this addresses the standard obligation of Kohen Gadol to bring a Minchas Chavitin on a daily basis. Homani Mekayim Bonav. Why does the Pasuk add Bonav? Eilu Kohanim Adyaitis. That comes to teach us that even a regular Kohen, a plain Kohen, a Kohen Hedyit, which is referred to as Bonav because Aaron HaKohen was the Kohen Gadol and his sons were the Kohanim Adyaitis, right? Even that type of Kohen will bring a Minchas Chavitin on the day of his inauguration. So clearly the Pasuk is completely used up. A, it refers to the regular Minchas Chavitin of a Kohen Gadol. B, a Minchas Chavitin that a Kohen Hedyit will bring upon his inauguration. So there's nothing left. There's no Pasuk available to teach us Rabbi Yehuda's Halach. As per our Mishnah, as per our discussion here, that the Kohen Gadol passes away, in the interim, his sons are obligated to fill in and, you know, bring their father's chavitin. Where's the source for that? The answer is like this. We can find it in this pasuk as well. There's an extra mem. Imkain, if it's only coming to tell you, Rabbi Yehuda's Halach, that the Yerushim of a Kohen Gadol have to continue the tradition until the new Kohen Gadol is appointed, Lichtav Kora, then the pasuk would just say, HaKohen HaMashiach Tachtav. Bonav Yase. The Bonav, they bring the Mincha after the father's passing until further notice. My Mi Bonav, what's the extra mem? Shamas Minotati. That allows us to learn another halacha as well. That every son of a Kohen Gadol, so to speak, meaning every Kohen Hedyit. Again, the sons here is a reference to Aaron HaKohen. So his sons are Kohanim Adyaitis. Basically, the point is every Kohen Hedyit brings a Minchas Chavitin once a lifetime on the day of his Chinuch, day of his inauguration. Okay, so we clarified Rabbi Yehuda's, we confirmed Rabbi Yehuda's source. As per our Mishnah, Kohen Gadol passes away. In the interim, until further appointment, who brings the Minchas Chavitin? His Yerushim. Based on this Pasuk, Mibonav Yasois. Rabbi Shimon Hayosa Mayavadle. Now, Rabbi Shimon had a different source, of course, Kolal Taktar, right? Chok Oilam Kolal Taktar. The community finances it, and it's a complete mincha. Rather than, you know, the standard half and half mincha, it's a complete isarain. So what does he do with Rabbi Yehuda's Pasuk of Oisa, which likewise taught us that it's a complete isarain rather than halves? Rabbi Shimon Ha'Oisa, my Abdi, what does he do with Oisa? My boy, that's coming for a different purpose. The Kohen Gadol Shemes Umini Achar Tachtov. This goes back to yesterday's Mishnah. Kohen Gadol passed away. And immediately they replace him with a new one, same day. Umini Kohen Achar Tachtov. So the morning offering had already been brought. Okay? So half of the Yisrael was taken care of in the morning, and we have a half sitting here. Comes the new Kohen Gadol, let's call him Shimei, to do his afternoon offering. Can he just dip into the remaining half that was left over by Reuben? No. Can he just bring a half Yisrael? That's all he needs? No. Shlo yavi chatz Yisrael mibeis, right? So Kohen Gadol Shimei's uminu achat tachtav. He can't just bring his half a yisurin, nor can he take the half Isaron left over by Reuben? Isa. He has to bring a full Isaron. But typically, minu machtzisa, but we have a pasuk for that discussed yesterday. U machtzisa, the extra vav, right? Covers this case. U machtzisa, to tell you that in this case, he has to bring a full one and split it. Why do we need a new pasuk today? Vav le'darsh, Reb Shimon does not dwell on the vav, and therefore he needed a new pasuk. Okay, so we addressed what Reb Shimon does with Reb Yehuda's pasuk, and what about Reb Yehuda with Reb Shimon's pasuk? Reb Yehuda hay chak oilam hay avadik. What does Reb Yehuda do with chak oilam? Since he has his own source for the halachis, chuk oilam tehe. It's coming to teach us that this concept that a kohen gadol brings a michas chavitin is not limited to the time of the mishkan of Aaron HaKohen. It's ongoing for all generations. Every kohen gadol has this obligation. The words kol taktor lamali, what's that for? Look, the sign is coming for the halacha as follows. We learn from this pasuk that a minchas chavitin is completely incinerated on the mizbeach, right? Kol taktor, ein li elel yoina. Minchas kohen gadol, the kol taktor. Perhaps only the you see the psukim there talk about minchas chavitin, kol taktor, and then later it says, next pasuk it says every mincha that every kohen brings. Every mincha that a kohen brings, kolal tielat yachos, completely burnt on the mizbeach, not going to be eaten by kohanim. In contrast to a regular mincha that Yisrael brings, there's kmitza which goes on the mizbeach, and the rest is eaten by the kohanim. By a mincha of a kohen, a donated mincha, every mincha, completely on the mizbeach. You don't need it, lo tiach. So interestingly, we find this sort of difference in language. By the minchas chavitin, the pasuk uses the term kolal taktar, it's fully burnt. By in describing a regular, you know, voluntary mincha v'kohen, it says lo'isach, don't eat. So here it says don't eat, but it doesn't speak about completely burning it. There it says completely burn it, but it doesn't say anything about not eating it. So we want to cross things over and compare notes. En li'ela el'yoina minchas kohen gadol b'kol tikta. Perhaps kol tikta, which tells you it's fully burnt, that only applies to the upper mincha, the previous mincha discussed earlier, minchas kohen gadol, minchas chavit. V'tachtoina. And likewise in the second mincha, which is the minchas kohen hedyot, discussed later, b'leisi achel, there's a law against eating it. Let's compare notes. Can we apply the not eating stipulation to the minchas kohen gadol, and vice versa, the fully incinerating requirement of the minchas kohen gadol, can we apply it to a regular mincha of a kohen? Minayin litin es amar shal zeh bezeh, es amar shal zeh bezeh. How do we know to cross notes and to apply the element of the minchas kohen gadol to a regular mincha, and vice versa, tam leimar, kolol kolol gzereshava. In both contexts, the Torah employs the word kolol. By the chavitin it says kolol taktor. By the regular mincha b'kohen it says kolol tia. We compare kolol kolol. Nemal kan kolol. We have kolol over here by the chavitin. Nemal halon kolol. We have the word kolol by the mincha s'nedava b'kohen. Ma kan b'kolol taktor. Nemal halon kolol taktor. Just like over there by the chavitin, completely burnt. Likewise by mincha s'nedava b'kohen as well. Umal halon litin loisasa lechilosa. And just like by the ordinary mincha v'koyin, it says, don't eat it. There's a lav against eating it. Afkan here as well. There's a lav against eating it. Okay, so that's the point of kolol taktar, to enable this gzereshava to compare notes. Now, one more point in terms of Rabbi Shimon's shita, who says that in the interim, the community finances the chavitin. He holds that it's sourced in the pasuk. It's not just an established practice that the chachamim established. We have a mishnah, Misach HaShkolim, where it seems like this was established by the chachamim. It wasn't sourced in a pasuk, as per our Gemara. Reb Shimon himself was speaking. He says, guess what? I have a list of seven takonis. Shiva Dvaram Iskinu Bezin. Bezin established seven takonis. And this following, the one that he's going to speak about now, is one of them, which is Ovid Kechavim Sheshalach Oilosim Dinasiyam. Let's say a guy sends a carbon oila from far away. He's allowed to bring an oila, right? But he didn't send all the trimmings, all the accessories. What about the Nesachim? So it depends. Shalachim on Nesachim. He sent along, money to pay for the Nesachim. Krev Mishalai, so that pays for it. Vim La, but if he failed to do that, Krev Mishal Tzibur, there's a takana that Tzibur will finance the Nesachim. That's one takana. Number two. V'chein Ger Shemes, V'nech Svachim, likewise. A convert that passed away without any family, and he left over kabbanis. So what do we do with it? Sure, we can offer the karbanos, but who's going to pay for the nesachim? So again, the same system, yesh la nesachim, kev mishalei, if he established some nesachim, if he designated some nesachim during his lifetime, that goes, vimlav kev mishal tzibur, otherwise the tzibur finances it. Number three, this pertains to our discussion with Tanai Bezdin. There was an established practice by the Bezdin, who al kohen gadol shomeis. Oh, kohen gadol passes away. V'loy minu al kohen achar tachtav. And during this interim period, until they appoint a new one, who's going to offer the mincha? Shtei mincha aser krivim shel tzibur. The public will pay for the mincha. So it's a takanas bezdin. Whereas in our Gemara, Reb Shimon sources it in the pasuk. How does this work? Amar bevo shtei takanas avu. There were actually two stages in the takana that happened at different times. You see, the starting point was the raisa mid tzibur in a Torah. Based on the pasuk we discussed before, the public has to pay for it. Mishal Oilam, right? Chag Oilam, Mishal Oilam. Now what happened? Times became difficult. Kivon, the Chazah, once the Chacham noticed, the Kamitchaka Lishka, the Lishka, the chamber, the treasury was getting depleted. And Rashi explains, because unfortunately, this was during the second Beis HaMikdash, there were many unscrupulous Kohanim Gadolim, and they were just going like flies. Every year, new Kohen Gadol, right? They died on Yom Kippur, because they entered their Kodesh HaKadoshim, right? So, they're running out of money. They kept on financing these interim periods. They switched the system. Takinu legabam yershim. Chacham switched the system. They required the yershim of the Kohen Gadol to pay for the mincha until further notice. But it didn't really hold up very long, because the yershim weren't really committed to the cause. Given the chazal of pasha, but they saw the yershim were just neglecting it. So, sort of a catch 22. It's hard for us to finance it, but at least we'll do it. Here it wasn't happening. Okumo de Raisa, they reestablished they reverted back to the Raisa Shita, the Raisa system, where the Tzibur would pay for it. So both things are true. Both things are emes. According to Rav Shimon, the Tzibur pays for it, but not Torah. That was the original system. Then it was switched to the Yershim, then it was put back to the tzibur, as per the Mishnah in Shkolim, which is speaking about the next stage, right? The final stage, where it was returned back to the tzibur's responsibility. Okay, once we're on the topic of the takanis, there's another halach in that Mishnah as well. Chacham established val parash layu mayalam be'afra. This is the paraduma ashes. The minute takana that if one uses the ashes, it's not considered like diverting, you know, holy property for personal use and a commitment and a violation of mi'ilah. No, there's no issue with that. Ask the Gemara, why do we need the Bezdin to provide that leniency? The Raisi, that's sourced in the Torah, the Sanya, Chatasi. The Pasuk in describing the Paraduma calls a Chatasi. We learn Ma'alamet Shme'alimbo. The Paraduma animal is like any carbon, and if one partakes in it, he does mi'ilah. But only the carbon itself, he. From the word he, we learn Bomay Alam. Meal only applies to the actual animal itself, the cow. But Ba'afra we're on Bez Aman Alam. Ba'afra in Mayalam. But there's no Meilah by partaking in the ashes. So that's Ben HaTorah. Why do we need a special Takanas Bezdin to absolve the ashes from, to exempt the ashes from Meilah? Omar Ashi, once again, it was a whole history here. And went through, it evolved through different stages. Shtei Takanas Havoy. There were really two Takanas. The truth is, you're right. Deiraisa min haTorah, strictly speaking, bo mayalan be'efrayim mayalan. There's only milah on the actual cow, but not on the efer. But then the chacham saw that people were being negligent; they were being careless. Kiven the chazo to come mezazli bo. Chacham saw that people took advantage of this exemption. Vukaavdi minei lemakosin. They used the ashes for personal use to smear on their wounds, to heal their wounds. Okay, so they belittled, they took advantage of the, they had to put a stop to it. Gozre Mila, they announced, okay, going forward there's Mila. Mila Midrabanan, you can't use it for personal use. Given the chazot of parashim is safek azois. But it had to, had an opposite effect. Now people were discouraged from using the Efer Paraduma for any situation which wasn't 100% required. Suffolk azois. The person runs into a Suffolk tumor. Not sure, well, he was in an area which had some tumor. Maybe not. Right? he would hesitate to use the Efer Para for concern that if he really doesn't need it, then it's Me'ila. So it backfired. Ukmo Daraisa, they restored the original Din Daraisa, and they said, you know what, there's no Me'ila, and that's the stage that the Mishnah is talking about. The Chachamim suspended the Me'ila which they had applied due to the circumstance. They removed it, they canceled it, and put it back on its original system. There is no Me'ila on the Efer. Okay, let's recap today's daf. The Michas Chavit and the Kohen Gadol is processed, is made even on Shabbos, even Betuma. We have several psukim. We learned about adding more than the standard oil, whether it's because of the pasuk b'shemen or the pasuk of Tzoilas Mincha Tamid, for a total of 3 log for the Puri Sarin. What happens if the Kohen Gadol passes away and they have not yet appointed a new one? Rabbi Yehuda says the Yerushim will bring it, and the Rabbi Shimon says the Tzibo will bring it. We have psukim for either Rashita. But either way, Shlema is a Kreva, which according to one shot in Rashi means that it's brought as a complete Yisorin twice a day. Okay, we did learn that according to Shimon, even though in Atura, the Tzibur brings it, but the Chachamim at a certain point switched it to the Yerushim, but then it was reverted back to the Tzibur, which also explains somewhat the Aloch of the Para, which also went through 2 stages. Initially, there was no Me'ila, and that's how it was at the end of the day as well. All the best to you, and Atzlocha Rav.